from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome in, everybody. How are you today? Happy Monday. It's Albrecht and Kester. We're ready to take you through the All-Star break here starting today. And a lot going on with the All-Star break with Major League Baseball with your Kansas City Royals. We're live with you on KFH. We're live with you on our video streams with our 12 News Connected partnership. Glad to be here with everybody. You can leave us your comments on the video streams or you can call us on the IHOP hotline. 869-1240 is always the number to call. We're glad to be here. Jad Chambers, man, and that. We'll have a couple giveaways for you today. We'll give away some HTO. We'll give away some NBC World Series tickets. We've got the All-Star break, but we also have the Major League Baseball draft. And we also have the trade deadline. We also have a first half, the unofficial break of the Major League Baseball season to look back on, and a second half to look forward to. And then the other big story over the weekend is one we began to hear rumblings of last week. It does sound like it's a little more advanced maybe than we initially thought. Clemson, Florida State, Big 12, lots of rumors floating out there. You're seeing more and more reporting on this, and a lot of what we wondered might happen seems to be happening. So we'll get into all of this today. It's all right there for you as we make our way through. Tommy, how are you this morning?
Man, I'm all right. It feels like a Monday. You know, I know that a lot of times Mondays definitely kind of get you a little bit, sneak up on you. That's the way I feel this morning. It's like I get one thing done and there's like three things piled up right after that. So happy Monday.
Yeah, it is a good Monday. It's a Monday. Hopefully we can all be a little nicer to each other. Crazy weekend. It's hard because you got the Home Run Derby tonight. The Home Run Derby should be a lot of fun with Bobby Witt Jr. in there for us around here. I like the field. We've also got this Big 12 rumor, but I think we start with the Royals here because he had a draft last night. I think most people are pretty happy with the draft and the way it went. They did not have their 29th pick, which would have been their second pick, because they used it to make a trade for Hunter Harvey, addressing one of the needs that we thought they certainly had and addressing it in a way that's not just a rental. I think that was a moderately high price tag. It's hard to evaluate it because we haven't always been able to trade Major League Baseball draft picks. I'm really glad that they can now, by the way. I think that will help struggling teams quite a bit. I think it'll help teams like the Royals who, you know, need to come up with a little more capital to make a push like this. So I like that they can trade draft picks. The Royals do it. They acquire a player, which kind of got all this different stuff happening right now. And you get the draft at the same time you're getting aggression. It is going to be probably a more eventful All-Star break. I like that they moved the draft to the All-Star break. I know a lot of people don't like that. I like it. I think it'll make it easier to watch the draft and pay attention to the draft. By the way, a couple notables. Culpepper from K-State drafted in the first round. And then Dylan Dreiling out of Hayes drafted by the Texas Rangers in the second round. His signing will be interesting to follow along with. But a couple local little connections there for you in the draft as well.
The cool thing about Culpepper, by the way, is that the Twins drafted him. So I think there's a fairly good chance we'll see him here in Wichita playing for the Windsurge at some point, you know, with his journey. And so that'll be kind of cool. Local flavor there, you know, going from K-State to the Twins organization and potentially getting to watch him play baseball here in Wichita.
Yeah, and it may not be, you know, it may not be as long either a time for an older player that sees him. But yeah, hopefully for just a second. And maybe he can be one of those two double-A, skip triple-A kind of players. We'll see. But I think you could. There's a decent chance you could see him like this year, perhaps, depending on how that lands for him and where he plays. But there's a lot there. The Royals in the first round go in and select Jack Caglianone from Florida. He is a two-way player. He's really interesting. He has just got tons and tons and tons of power. And then he's also a two-way player. Now, most project him out as a reliever, which I actually have wondered for a long time. Like, why not more two-way players that are relief pitchers? Like, we always think of them as starters, and then you got the Shohei Ohtani thing. But what if you had guys that were good pitchers that could just come in and be relievers, everyday players? Imagine the roster flexibility. You wouldn't have to worry as much about, you know, like rest and all that stuff. Like, you're in a tight spot. They're a good pitcher. You bring them in. And some, even if they were just mop-up guys, Tommy, like, what? You could save roster spots. You could do all kinds of different stuff. But so that was an interesting pick. I think most I have not seen any of the evaluation places not like that pick. I like it. I think it's fine. I think they're a little starved for power in the organization. So taking a big old power bat makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, I like that pick a lot. And it sounds like the Royals are going to let him continue to be a two-way player, at least as they're developing and bringing him through, which I like that a lot. I think that, you know, that opens up the door for a lot of different possibilities. Now, will he actually be a two-way player, you know, when he, assuming he makes it all the way? Probably not, maybe to an extent, but probably not. But I do like the fact that at least for the time being, the Royals are going to let him at least try to develop as a two-way player and, you know, see what comes from it. I mean, think about, and you talked a little bit about the value of having that in general, but if you've got, you know, him playing potentially first base or whatever that looks like, and you need an arm in, you know, maybe a blowout game or something like that, you don't necessarily have to waste an inning or two or however many from your bullpen. You could just kind of throw him out there and make that happen. We see teams do that from time to time in blowout games. Usually, though, it's, you know, a middle infielder or, you know, somebody like that that doesn't.
Sure.
They're not a pitcher. They're just up there. You know, but you could, in theory, utilize him, you know, in a position like that and have a little bit more seriousness or thoughtfulness around that when those sort of situations arise. So I don't think it's likely when he actually makes it to the big leagues that you're going to see him be a two-way player fully, but I do think it gives a little bit of an added you know, piece in the arsenal for him.
Well, look, he hits the upper 90s, apparently. He has control issues on the mound. It profiles out as a reliever if he's anything, but I don't know why you would, like, why not? Like, why make that decision? Just see if he can get guys out. If he can get guys out and he can touch the upper 90s, he could be a bullpen guy. But the big thing is he's hit 32 home runs over the last two seasons in college. Like, exit velocity was like 120 miles an hour. Now, I don't know how that translates with the metal bats, so I'm not an expert on that, but I know it's high. And he's a lefty. And the Royals need power in the organization. They don't have a lot of power in the organization. And so I get it. I like it. I haven't seen anyone that doesn't like it, that doesn't think it makes sense, all of these things. So the Royals do that in the first round. They take a high school pitcher in the second round. If you're curious what happened with that pick they gave up to the Nationals, pick 39, the Nationals took catcher Caleb Loma Vida from Cal. And look, I know we don't know a whole lot about these players. Peyton Tolley, the former Shocker, was taken out of TCU in the second round by the Red Sox. So that's another name. And I haven't gone through the full list, but those are three others that are non-Royals. Dylan Dreiling, of course, who we mentioned there, Peyton Tolley, and then Culpepper in the first round. So there's all kinds of little things that'll come from the draft, and we'll do our best to keep up with that. It's a madhouse with the draft, but I like it. I like that they did it now. A second baseman is taken first overall for the first time ever, I think, by the Guardians. We'd have to defer to Jeff Lutz on whether that's a good pick or not, but it the draft is here. But you get the draft, you get the futures game, you get the home run derby, then you get the All-Star game, and then it's back to baseball. So I like the timing of this. I do think it's better for baseball because you don't really skip a beat. Now we go straight into the home run derby. You'll have Bobby Witt Jr. in front of the hometown crowd representing the Royals. You'll have Pete Alonso trying to kind of make history there a little bit. I think this is going to be a great derby. I'm pretty excited about the home run derby tonight.
I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It's in my mind, I'm more jacked up about it than I think I've been for home run derbies in a long time, honestly. I mean, I think that the star power that you've got the mix of kind of the young guns, the young budding and emerging superstars, and then the established guys, the ones that have kind of, at least in the case of Pete Alonso, owned the home run derby for the last several years. So I'm excited about that. I do think the field is really good. I still, to be completely honest with you, am not 100% sure how the format works. I've read it multiple times. I think I get the general framework of it. I do think that Major League Baseball has made things a little bit too overly complicated when it comes to the home run derby and the format and the way that you put it together.
I think they simplified it back a little bit. Basically, they just took away that head-to-head thing, which didn't make a lot of sense. And it's fine. I mean, I don't mind trying it, but I think they just simplified it as far as I can tell. Now, some of the bonus ball things are complicated. We'll have to see that play out. We won't understand it until we see it, and that's fine, but putting it everybody against everybody is, I think, the right thing, because that head-to-head thing, you don't want to potentially lose your second best performer out of the first round. You know what I mean? It's what happened to Salvador Perez, and when he was just crushing it, he had the second best round that year, but went up against Pete Alonso and didn't get to move forward, even though he was fantastic.
Yeah,
Bobby Witt Jr. What do you think of Bobby Witt Jr.'s chances here? Bobby Witt Jr. is probably going to hit 25 home runs this year. 30 maybe. Like, he's not there yet with power. It's coming, I think. I think he's going to profile eventually as a 30-35 home run guy. I don't think he's there yet. I mean, the raw skills are there. I don't know what to think about him in a derby. Alec Bohm, by the way, in a derby. Interesting to me.
That'll be fun.
We haven't mentioned him, and we keep forgetting, but the former Shocker for the Phillies, who's having an unreal season, is also in the derby. I kind of like him in the derby. Kind of like Adolis Garcia in the derby. It's an interesting mix of players. But when it comes to Bobby Witt Jr., I don't know. Like, I just don't know that this feels like his kind of event. And I mean, I could be wrong. He could surprise us. He's the third odds-on favorite to win this thing. By the way, Alec Bohm is the least likely. He's at 16-1. Jose Ramirez at 12-1. I kind of like 16-1 on Bohm a little bit. Yeah. Who's the odds-on favorite?
Is Alonso?
It's Alonso. Sure. Yeah. Oh yeah. And Ozuna's second, which makes sense. Bobby Witt Jr.'s third, though. I don't think I agree with that. He's tied with Gunnar Henderson. I don't think I agree with that. I think guys like, I mean, they're all capable. I think Alonso's the favorite just based on experience, but I think any of these guys could do it. And I would tell you that I think the least likely is Bobby Witt Jr.
I don't know if I would go that far as the least.
I'm just thinking about his game. Now he has some of those where they're no doubt or just absolute crushed. I just don't know that I think of him in this light yet. Of all the amazing things he does, and I've told you before, there's not a player, considering age, I would take before him right now in baseball if we were kind of starting all over. But I'm not sure this is like right up his alley yet, and I hope I'm wrong. I hope, because he'll be motivated. That's his hometown. That's where he grew up. Like, it's going to be – he's going to have a lot of support in that stadium, and I hope he puts on the kind of show that he could. That would be incredible. I just – as I look at all of them and think about their game and everything, and I and the other part for me is, like, I don't know if I want him swinging out of his shoes like that. Like, I don't – you know what I mean? Don't mess with it. Like, because yeah. We've seen that have an after effect for players in the past.
Well, I was watching him the other day. You know, they were in Boston, and Joel Goldberg was talking about how Bobby Witt Jr. in the pregame for the Royals, how he was going out before regular batting practice. It was like 4.5 hours before the game started to do his own home run derby batting practice. And, okay. You know, there's a trend – and it happens from time to time. There's a trend of players that have been in the home run derby that end up having a decline in the second half of the season because they change their mechanics. They go and they try to win the home run derby, and then it screws up their swing for the rest of the year. And I don't think that that's going to be Bobby Witt Jr. I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, but there clearly is that, you know, mentality of, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to go out there to win it. You know, they're competitors in that, for sure. In that regard. The thing about Bobby Witt Jr., and this was something that the pregame show for the Royals, they were talking about on TV over the weekend about him in the home run derby, is that, and this kind of lends a little bit to your point here about how Bobby Witt Jr., while he's a really good hitter, isn't quite yet known as a slugger necessarily. He's more of a five-tool player. You know, he's a great hitter, not right. necessarily known as a great slugger. He's a line drive kind of guy. And, you know, when he gets a hold of one and it goes out of the park, that's fantastic. But is that really his bread and butter? I mean, you think of like a guy like Pete Alonso, who for the most part, you know what you're going to get from him. You're going to get a home run, or you're going to get a strikeout, or he might walk. You know, those are probably the most likely outcomes when it comes to a guy like Pete Alonso. He's a slugger. It's different a little bit right now, at least in the early career of Bobby Witt Jr.
I agree. My bets tonight would be for Adolis Garcia and Alec Bohm, just because I think he could do it at 16-1 seems too appetizing. I hope Bobby Witt Jr. Well, double-edged sword. I hope Bobby Witt Jr. does it, but I don't want him to do something that's going to impact the rest of his season. That's what I mean. Like, he's been very much a line drive hitter, so we'll see. It's going to be fun either way. I'm glad they're there. Baseball itself, Royals dropped 2-3 to the Red Sox. Not terribly concerned about that. You don't like seeing the really, really bad starts from two of your three big-time starting pitchers, certainly. But... not, I don't think, anything overly concerning. So let's take a break here. By the way, all this baseball coverage on KFH, it's presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. We'll come back. We'll talk about the baseball on the field. We'll get a little more into the Derby and everything later. But we'll talk about that series in Boston. We'll look at the trade that the Royals made. We'll look at the standings right now as we hit this, you know, halfway point. I know it's not halfway, but it's the halfway point of the Major League Baseball season for all intents and purposes. We'll do all of that when we return on Sports Daily.
Is on KFH.
On your way into work, you want to keep listening to Sports Daily even after you park the car. With the Odyssey app and Odyssey.com, you can. Just download the app or visit Odyssey.com. Search for KFH. Download the Odyssey app today to get started. Of course, you can also watch the show these days on 12 News Connected. Just go over to KWCH.com, go to the 12 News app, and you can find the show that way. Looking forward to enjoying that new partnership. Now just a little more than a week in the books as we sort of ramp up and get ready for everything as we get to football season. That's sort of the goal. You get through this month and all of a sudden we'll have training camp. And this time next month, Tommy, we'll be in college football season at that point, I think.
Close to it, at least. I mean, we'll be like a week or two away. But yeah, we'll be previewing everything.
All right, let's set up our first giveaway here. So, Sports Daily listeners, NBC World Series tickets right now. You can participate in this once a day. All you got to do to get some tickets is text the keyword strike. That's STRIKE to 20357. That'll give you the chance to win a pair of tickets to one of the exciting games out at the NBC World Series. Message and data rates apply. Strike 20357. Good luck there, everybody. We talked about the home run derby there, Tommy. So let's get in now to the on-the-field stuff. Hunter Harvey is your newest Royal. 29 years old. He has 4.20 ERA this year. Could be better. But he has gotten the job done a lot for them. He is tied for the league in holds. But I think the thing that you look at with him, his strikeout rate, high, his walk rate, I think, is relatively low. And last year, for instance, he had a 2.82 ERA. I think this is a high upside type of guy. The Royals need that. He's got a 98 mile per hour fastball. They need back end stuff, and I think this gives them back end stuff. It gives them a little bit of control. And we have wondered, you know, we've said a million times, like, they don't have a lot of assets to trade to go make moves like this. I hadn't thought about the draft pick. They use a draft pick and they make this kind of a trade. I like it. I think it's the right type of player, high upside, lots of control. And you take a swing and it's a player that could help you, which, you know, in the 2 year window that I sort of see this year and next year, I think it's a move that certainly helps you there. Probably didn't hurt you that much. And it makes a lot of sense.
It does. And I think that it's the right move to make. To get somebody like Hunter Harvey, because, I mean, keep in mind, he was a first-round draft pick, and he has shown that he's got high-end stuff, like back end of a bullpen, you know, potentially closer-type stuff. And so knowing that he's got at least the potential for that, and he's shown flashes of it, you know, during the course of his career, even though his ERA is slightly high so far this season, I think he does project out to be somebody that could be a legitimate, you know, closer type pitcher for Kansas City. Will he immediately come in and close games? No, probably not. I don't think that they're just going to slot him in to be the closer. But we also know that James MacArthur and, you know, other relievers like Zerpa and Chris Stratton and you know, others have been good at times, but not consistent. And so there could be a scenario where as the season rolls on, they could use him in that kind of situation. I don't think it's going to be right away, but that could happen, you know, down the road. What I like about this move for Kansas City is that they were able to address this need early before, and I know they gave up a draft pick, but before you get to the trade deadline where price tags then go up quite a bit more, and you don't then have the draft pick in your back pocket to be able to utilize in a trade. Yeah. They got it done now. They don't have to sit back and wait. There are going to be so many other teams that are probably going to be jockeying for position with other relievers on the market when the trade deadline comes and goes here in a couple of weeks, and the Royals basically got their part of it done. I don't think they need to go and attack bullpen at all moving forward. Like for the I think this is what they needed to do from a bullpen perspective. And now they can totally just focus on, okay, do we need to add a bat? If we need to add a bat, what does that look like in the outfield? And who is that person going to be? They can be singularly focused as opposed to, you know, trying to get multiple things done.
Don't misunderstand. The Royals paid a hefty price for this player. I don't think there is any doubt they project Hunter Harvey to be at the back end of their bullpen for a couple of years, if not their closer at some point. They gave up their second overall prospect. Now, again, their farm system wasn't loaded, so second overall prospect is relative, but Caden Wallace is a pretty good player, and if they've already used him now, which you assume he could have been a piece in any deal, that's a player with power that plays good defense that's, you know, going to need a little more time, but that could bite him. If Harvey doesn't, you know, if he doesn't fit and do a good job at the back end of the bullpen, they will have given up too much in this trade. But you have to give up too much and be aggressive, in my opinion. This is why I like the trade. Could the Royals in 3 years look back at that and watch Caden Wallace be an everyday big league player that's, you know, productive? Sure they could. And could the number 39 overall pick do that? Less likely, but you know, as draft picks go. But sure, he could. And you could look at that and you could think, man, they gave up way too much. But that's relative. If Hunter Harvey's helping you in this 2 year window and it's helped you get to the postseason, or it's done anything else, or it develops into your closer, then it's not too much. You just have to, you can't look at things only, you know, down there. You can't ever just only look back. You have to look at the present. And in the present, this is a need. Now, what I wonder is, these are probably the two most valuable trade assets they will have come up with in any deal at the deadline. That draft pick and that player. They're not going to trade their number one overall prospect. They're not. The catcher. He's the only guy in their system that makes it into the top 100. That's Blake Mitchell, who's at the very low levels, who's very young. They're not going to trade him, I don't think. I would find it harder to believe. I mean, they could trade a guy like Frank Mozzicato, but I think this is the most they will give up in any trade that they make. So is that good enough? I don't know. Does it help them? I think it could. I think it does.
Can he plug into the bullpen now and be a contributor?
Yes.
I think that at that point, that there is that potential that it can be a positive trade right now and even into next year. And the fact that he's got quite a bit of control left on his contract, I think that says a lot too. That means a lot. It was a hefty price tag. But again, it goes back to that strategy, I think, for the Royals. Like, are you going all in right now? And I think that also for JJ Piccolo, this particular trade does address both parts of what his goal is in acquiring talent. It's the short term and the long term. You're balancing both of it. You know, it'd be different if Hunter Harvey was just a rental and they only had him for this season.
That would have been too much to give up for a rental.
But it would have been way too much. Yeah. But you're addressing the short term because he can contribute in the bullpen right away. But then you're also addressing the long term because he does have quite a bit of control left.
He fits a window. I think the window is 2 years. There are a lot of reasons I think that. But I think the window is 2 years. You've got Lugo, who I know was bad over the weekend, and we will get into that. But you've got Lugo for at least that long. I don't know if you'll have Waka that long, but that's your window. You've got Salvi in the middle of still his offensive prime, in my opinion, especially as he catches a little bit less. Like, this is the window they were willing to give up players to get better for this window. It's a very important window. They're trying to get a new ballpark built. They're trying to build momentum. They're trying to boost attendance. They're trying to do all of these things, give the fans what they haven't had in way too long. So it is important, and it's okay to overpay, but you can't really overpay if it's not a slam dunk, which Hunter Harvey is not a slam dunk, and if it's a rental, he's also not a rental. So I think it's the right kind of move. I got no issue with it. He's got the kind of stuff that projects to the back end of your bullpen. I am perfectly okay with the risk there on that deal. Now, though, I wonder what they have left if they want to go get a bat. It probably tells me the level of bat they would go after is lower level. And that doesn't mean worse player. That just means that may be a true, like, expiring contract, old guy type rental. MJ Melendez twisted his ankle over the weekend. They need an outfield bat pretty badly. So we'll see. And, I think they'll get it. I think if this move tells you nothing else, we've wondered and pondered and everything. And until we talked to JJ Piccolo last week, and I think he made it pretty clear they're going to be aggressive, we just sort of wondered these things. I don't think there's any doubt about it now. They're going to be aggressive. Yeah. You don't make the Hunter Harvey trade only thinking you'll make only that deal. They're going to do everything they can, and I think ultimately they will go find a bat somewhere somehow to add to the mix, and they have to now.
Knowing what they gave up for Hunter Harvey, I think that, and knowing what's left for them in their farm system, and now that the draft is come and gone, it tells me that they're probably less likely to acquire, I don't know, Jazz Chisholm Jr., and they're more likely to acquire Tommy Pham. Right. I think that's kind of what you're looking at here. Not that, you know, either. I mean, obviously, Jazz Chisholm Jr. is a superstar, but sure. Like,
just cost that, I don't know that they've got the horses in the stable to go get Jazz Chisholm. Like, that's what Hunter Harvey cost. I don't think they're getting Jazz Chisholm.
Right. I totally agree. And I think that's okay. I think that there, to your point, there are some veteran guys, like rental, true rental type players that you could probably go and acquire to help you right now. The only thing that like that begs the question of is, again, JJ Piccolo has been pretty clear that he, any moves he makes, acquisitions he makes, he wants it to be positive for the short term and the long term. If you're just getting a true rental, that's not really a long term fit. So I don't exactly know how that fits into the strategy, or if you make an exception for something like that.
I think it's all cost appropriate. Look, he backed that up. That's exactly what Hunter Henry is. But if you can go get a veteran and all it costs you is money, right? That's not really, doesn't matter at that point. You're not making a move that hurts your future if it's just a move that costs you money. It might hurt John Sherman's future, but it's not. That doesn't hurt the organization. They have to have it. I'm pretty confident now in Hunter Renfroe. I feel like he's found it again. I think he's fine. MJ Melendez is fine. So I don't, it's, you know, the urgency and the need there probably isn't quite as great as it once was, but it's still a need. They still need something there. But here we go. The trade deadline. Now you know they'll be aggressive, and we're counting down the days. We have about 2 weeks left, and then we hit the deadline. They're going to be aggressive. We know they are. They just told us they are. You don't make that kind of move. I mean, that is an aggressive move for Hunter Harvey. Again, it could miss. It could be a big mistake. But there's no question it's aggressive. And that's what, at least in my opinion, I've been saying they need to do for weeks and weeks now, is this team can get there. And if it can get there, it could be a dangerous postseason team. And they have to be relevant this year for, you know, the entire season and bring hope into next year. You've let the fan base down too much as an organization. The rebuild, not only has it taken too long, it's been wildly unsuccessful, right? It's not the rebuild that has the Royals in this position. It's the good fortune of being in a spot to draft Bobby Witt Jr., and it's an incredible offseason of acquisitions with Waka and Lugo. I mean, that's what has them in this position. It's not the rebuild. The rebuild failed. So now what do you do knowing that? You try to start over to some degree on the rebuild, and you have to strike now. They have to strike now. And maybe John Sherman will remain an aggressive owner in free agency. It's fine. You don't have to have the best farm system in baseball to be a good baseball organization. Again, use the Rangers. They have not had a great farm system. I mean, they had one for just a little bit right before their first run. Then they had a terrible system, missed on a bunch of picks, and they did it through free agency. They did it through some savvy moves and a couple of good players, and here they are. But the Royals, you need to hit on 2-3 draft picks and supplement them with these kinds of free agents. So they'll be aggressive. I'm excited to see it. I'm excited to see what they work next. And I hope Hunter Harvey projects. I mean, quite honestly, I hope he's their closer next year.
Yeah. I think that's the goal. And I'm really interested in the next 2 weeks to see other trades that are made around the league that deal with the bullpen and see what other teams are giving up. I know that some of the players that potentially are out there being dangled by the sellers are pretty high caliber potential relievers and even some closers. I know Tanner Scott has been dangled out there, you know, a couple of times. There are some others too. But I'm interested to see what the price tag for those players are, especially as you get closer to the deadline. And for buyers that are like they're maybe a closer away or a bullpen piece away from feeling like they're really complete, what they're going to be willing to give up. Because if the Royals 2 weeks ahead of time before the deadline gave up what they gave up for Hunter Harvey, who is not a clear-cut closer at this point, not a clear-cut high-end reliever, he's got the potential for it. But if they gave that up for him, you go 2 weeks later down the line with more tailor-made closers available potentially, what are these other buyers going to be willing to give up?
See, I think there's a chance that the Royals will end up have, you know, relative to the player, end up have paying the heftiest price. I think that's the cost of going early, going first. You know, I think that there are more suitors for. I think there's a chance that they could have ended up relative to the player paying more than others pay. Now, again, they didn't pay for a closer, but you know, cost versus return, that they gave up a lot. They gave up their number two prospect, who probably profiles just outside the top 100 in baseball, and essentially a first round draft pick. for, it's the control that they paid for, Tom. It's not, and that's the thing. Like, they
it's
paid
the control,
for the extra.
But it's also, I think, the potential. You know, Hunter
it
Harvey,
is.
It's not
but
like
there's going to be a
like
lot of trades. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of
under the
potential.
Radar coming into Major League Baseball.
No.
He was projected out to be a high caliber pitcher in the big leagues.
It's having to you're having to buy that extra year control, which is fine. I have no problem with that. Again, I would tell you that I like the move. I think it's the right move. I think it's fine. I'm totally good with it. But it's expensive, and control is expensive. We know that in baseball. We also know teams have never been more willing to trade control because of what they can get back for control. And so that's a good example there. Some of these players that aren't rentals, they bring massive hauls. We'll see how many of those types of players are traded out of the bullpen. But the Royals get the first one, I think. I don't think there's been another bullpen move. Maybe so across baseball. Not one of this high caliber or high profile. So we'll see. All right. We'll continue our Royals conversation with what happened in Boston. We'll look at the standings, get you reset. Get ready to come back out of the All-Star break and see how everything goes. I don't think we're going to see Seth Lugo start the All-Star game now after his bad performance over the weekend, but we'll recap that. We'll look forward. Here we go. They enter that stretch we've been talking about, that critical stretch. Don't miss the opportunity that's coming. We'll get back into that and more. It's Sports Daily on KFH.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Don't forget, text STRIKE to 20357 for your chance to win some NBC World Series tickets. Message and data rates apply there. Good luck. Tommy, let's talk about what the Royals did over the weekend. You heard the updates there on the details of it. They dropped 2 of 3. Okay. I told you as long as they get one, I'm not going to worry too much about it because it wasn't going to make that big of an impact in the standings. They now are 2 games behind Boston. They're 2.5 games behind Minnesota. And they are 5.5, I believe, behind the Yankees in the wild card chase. That's very much striking distance. Houston is right behind them, 1.5 games back. Tampa is right behind them, 3.5 back. Everybody else, I think you can just sort of hold back on worrying too much about at this point. Now, there are other teams that could certainly get back into the mix. But I think that's the group of 6 for 3 spots that at the moment you're looking at. I think they're in pretty good shape here. They've got to be, we've gone over it. They've got to be better than they have been to this point if they want to get to the postseason. I think that is within the realm of possibility. You certainly, though, don't like seeing 2 of your best pitchers have performances like that over the weekend. That is a little concerning and maybe a chance to have a nice break here. I almost hope, you know, we don't see any of the pitchers pitch in the All-Star game, to be quite honest with you. Lugo, there was going to be a cool opportunity for him to start the game. Now I kind of don't want any of them to even pitch in the game, get the extra rest, and get reset for the second half.
Yeah, it was kind of a disappointing game on Saturday, no doubt about it, with Lugo on the hill. He didn't have his best stuff. You could tell that. At least I could, while watching him.
He was better than Singer, like, I'll say that.
He was better than Singer, but as far as what we've come to expect from Seth Lugo this season, he wasn't quite as sharp, maybe. Like, the pitches weren't quite as sharp as I think what we've grown accustomed to with him. You know, still, it wasn't like the worst outing ever, but it wasn't Seth Lugo-esque. It wasn't All-Star Game starting-esque. It wasn't potential Cy Young winner-esque for Seth Lugo on Saturday. That was, I think, the most disappointing part of it. You know, because with Brady Singer yesterday in the finale, you know, Singer's been up and down, and it hasn't always been great for Brady Singer. And so I wasn't fully or overly surprised, I guess, about the way that Brady Singer pitched yesterday. I would have liked it to be better. The Royals just about mounted a comeback and got all the way back almost yesterday. We've said that multiple times before. That's happened quite a bit over the course of the season, but I expected more on Saturday out of Seth Lugo. What I was really excited about when we talked about it on Friday's show, Cole Reagans not only pitched phenomenal on Friday, but he got run support, and that helped out a lot. And so that was what I wanted to see, at least from the Kansas City offense, when Cole Reagans was on the bump, and they delivered in that regard. So I did like that, but yeah, it's, you know, definitely a letdown losing the final 2 games in that series as you kind of limp your way into the All-Star break.
Yeah, look, eyes should be wide right now. Right now is the time where you play a whole bunch of teams that are below 500. White Sox, Diamondbacks, Cubs, White Sox again, Tigers, 16 games, all under 500, the first 9 of those at home. This is moving day for the Royals. This is where they need to make a move. Be very strong in those 16. We're talking like, I don't know, 11-5 type good. And they can make their move right now. They're going to be able to line up their rotation however they want to. You know, you'd think you can get how many in 16? You can get 3 or 4 starts out of your aces out of those games. They got to reset here. And this is the part of the schedule. Now, is it the end-all be-all? No, it's not. We know that. Like, it's baseball. Anything can happen at any point. But when you get an opportunity like this, and they haven't had very many of them on the schedule. They had another one earlier in the year, and they failed miserably at picking up the wins they needed to. So now, you know, they have got to get refocused and come out of the gates hot here in this quote-unquote second half, because that's the stretch. If you look otherwise, if you look further down the list, lots of games, Boston, St. Louis, Minnesota again, Philadelphia's in there, Cleveland's in there, Houston's in there, more Cleveland, more Minnesota, there's the Yankees in there. You kind of finish easy, you finish with the Braves, but this is the stretch where they're going to have to make their move, And I hope that they can, and I hope that they can remain aggressive, and I hope J.J. Piccolo can have lots of conversations during the All-Star break to try and get them the reinforcements they need, because it will be critical that they come out of this part hot. We know some of these other teams have heated up, and they're not going – Minnesota's not going away. Boston might. Houston's not going away. We'll see about Tampa. And then the Yankees, as they've stumbled a little bit here lately, are they going away? I doubt it. So there's not. It's not going to be that other teams fail. The Royals are going to have to run them down. They're going to have to be better than they were. Again, I think it's 92 wins. So here it is. I'm excited about it, though. I will say that. I'm ready for it. It's the perfect timing. It'll get us right until we're ready to jump right into football. And it'll be a pretty fun and hopefully not agonizing, what is that, 3 weeks of baseball.
Here's a question for you, and I don't know if you saw this over the weekend. The Phillies, and I'm not saying this is going to be the right move, but the Phillies released Whit Merrifield. Is there a scenario where he has a reunion with Kansas City? They don't have to trade anybody to get him? They can just sign him. He's a free agent. They released him. So Phillies did. You know, the Phillies are looking to do something, I think, major at the trade deadline. They need the space. They need an outfielder. They've got the pieces to be able to make a trade like that happen. They make room by releasing Whit Merrifield.
Gives you a leadoff hitter, doesn't it? It also gives you another outfielder.
Gives you an outfielder.
Outfielder hitting under the Mendoza line, though, is what it gives does. You. That's what he's done this sure year. Appropriate risk? Yeah, that's appropriate risk. I'd be fine with that. Because
you're not getting up any pieces for it.
It's not like he hasn't been good up until this year. In 2023 with the Blue Jays, he was really good, right? It just hadn't been a good year this year. So could he come in and reinvigorate himself and be your leadoff hitter? Sure, that'd be a fun story. I'd be totally fine with it. Because at that point, yeah, it just costs you money. It's not my money. I'll spend it all. 869-1240. All right, we might get to the Royals back here in the second hour. What we're going to do next, though, Big 12. What seemed like harmless rumors doesn't seem like that anymore. We're moving and shaking on what we talked about last week. Probably faster than we realized. And it sure sounds like there is major, major smoke right now when it comes to the Big 12 and another set of realignment. We'll get into all the reporting over the weekend on that. We'll speculate. We'll have some fun with it. It's Sports Daily. It's Albrecht and Caster. Thanks for joining us on KFH. Thanks for joining us on 12 News Connected. Facebook, YouTube. We're working on the X connection. Old Elon threw us a curveball this morning we didn't see coming. So if you're used to trying to switch over to X, give us a day or two on that. Meanwhile, you can find us on 12 News Connected. We'll come back. Hour number two of Sports Daily coming right up.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.